My maternal grandparents died over 10 years ago, and their house was quickly sold after my grandmother passed away. And so in that period of time, there wasn't an opportunity, it seemed, to visit Carroll Way, the place of their old home. Never a chance to say goodbye to where my siblings and I used to play hide and seek beneath the stairwell, where we would set out breakfast for my grandparents every morning when we would sleep over at their home. Never a chance to say goodbye to the place where we celebrated Rosh Hashanah and Pesach. If you will, never a chance to achieve that word, closure. A fading memory, a piece of the past, a now distant experience. I'm sure many of you can relate. But last week, my husband and I met my parents for dinner, and we found ourselves just around the corner. Just around the corner from my grandparents' house on Carroll Way. As we drove closer and closer to my grandparents' home, I noticed everything had changed. Everything from the color of the paint, to the landscape, to the woman who was watering the front lawn, certainly she wasn't in my memory. I rolled down my window and motioned that I wanted to speak with her. And I said, "This is my grandparents' home. They lived here for over 30 years. And she smiled at me and said, "Well, I live here. This is my husband's and my family's home. We've now been here for 10 years. And I realized that this was the family that moved in after my grandmother passed away. And so we turned the car around, and I started to tear up. But I realized I wasn't crying tears of sorrow, but rather I was crying tears of joy, because somehow those memories that I thought were long gone were just as poignant, just as vibrant, just as present as ever. These unexpected meetings of the past, they're not easy. It might be looking at a previous home or a school. Maybe it's reuniting with close friends at a high school reunion. We see new stories transform the old and wonder, how can my experience so easily be replaced? As life changes and twists, the new challenge becomes, where do I find my new source of comfort? A different house, a different street, a few additions or subtractions from our family. And suddenly we realize it's those instilled lessons, those memories, those stories, those pieces of tradition that allow us to walk on life's path, no matter how jagged or curvy the road. It's that jagged and curvy road that comes to mind when I think about the roads that Moses traveled on. Periods of abandonment, upheaval, rebellion, the taking away of his power, changes in his leadership. Every story I read about Moses leaves me with a perplexing question, something that gnaws at my soul. With so many twists in this man's life, why didn't he just give up? What is it that kept Moses driven, connected, and steadfast to God and his mission? Midrash asks the following question. Why did God choose to speak to Moses out of a thorn bush? It could have been a carob tree or a sycamore tree, anything else. But of all things, why would God choose a thorn bush to deliver God's message? We're taught that God spoke to Moses out of a thorn bush to show us that no place on earth, even a thorn bush, is devoid of God's presence. Be it the sin of the golden calf, or the downfall of the spies, or this week, Korach's rebellion, somehow Moses is able to let those rocky moments in his life melt away and stare at these thorn bushes presented before him and still get at the core of what's really important. Moses being able to bring God's message to all of us and finding holiness in those unexpected places. We know that thorn bushes can pop up at any moment. I was looking for that exact replica of my grandparents' home, and I was thrown for a loop. Sometimes we walk into a doctor's office and receive unwanted news. Other times we come to work and there's a pink slip on our desk. We know that the thorn bushes are many. But the challenge, the real challenge, becomes removing those thistles and searching for that hidden rose within. As some of you know, my husband and I recently visited our family in Syracuse. And in the middle of their yard stands this oak tree that's been there for over 70 years. Now you see, my husband likes to tease me because he says that when I visit Syracuse, that's when the weather decides to change. It can be 70 degrees outside, no cloud in the sky, but when I come to Syracuse, that's when the weatherman predicts it's about to snow. And I'm not joking. Well, I landed, and this young woman from Southern California, sunny Southern California, well, I experienced two electrical major storms that week in Syracuse. And I promise I will take the blame. Well, in the second storm, the winds picked up, and in one swoop, my husband's beloved tree was uprooted. His family was in utter shock. It seemed as if with one gust of wind, their childhood memories were racing down the street. And you can imagine the memories. Lazy summer days, humid days, when they would use the shade of the tree for comfort. After winter's first snowfall, watching the snowflakes dance on the leaves. And now when the grandchildren come back to play, literally playing ball under the tree, the same place where Erez and his siblings grew up. Well, after that colossal letdown, just a few days later, Erez's brother, in his infinite wisdom, painted a picture of the tree. And it gave everyone immense relief, tremendous comfort, because somehow that picture of the tree taught us that whether or not the tree is actually physically there, those memories of the tree will never be replaced. The joy, the companionship, the love that the family felt all those years, tree or not, they'll always be there. It's easy to watch a tree uprooted and lament over what's gone. And it's normal for someone like me to look at my grandparents' home and mourn over what once was. But I think we each have it in us to look at the curveballs, those rocky moments in our lives, those thorn bushes, and stare within them and remember, recall the essence of who we are, what matters. Let that rise to the surface and look at the seemingly insurmountable and somehow transform that into something we can almost cherish, something we can appreciate. It takes courage and bravery. But if we let ourselves, if we decide not to let the thorns overwhelm, then I think within every thorn bush, we can find our rose. My grandparents' home will never look the same. But those values and traditions and memories and stories experienced there, well, no one can ever take that away. Within our thorn bush, whatever it may be, and you know what it is, let us look hard enough. Let us search. For I know that we have the strength within us to find and grasp our rose. Shabbat Shalom.